Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Today's episode is a wonderful reminder that creativity requires risk. It's a given. There are times when things are going to feel scary, but on the other side of scary, you'll find growth and confidence. I'm chatting with UK artist Emmeline Webb. These days, Emmeline works full-time in her studio making vibrant mixed-media artworks while her daughter Maisie runs her art gallery in Hitchin in Hertfordshire. Getting to this point has been quite a journey that has involved selling the family home, starting a gallery just as the UK was coming out of a recession, and completely revamping that gallery during the pandemic. It's quite a story, but before we get started, I encourage you to hop over and check out Emmeline's website, which you can find at emmelinewebb.com, and her Instagram is at emmeline_webb. I really hope you enjoy this week's conversation and that it encourages you to do something that scares you. Let's get straight into it. I just wanted to say a big thank you for taking some time out of your day and joining me for this chat.
Oh no, thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be asked to be here. Yeah, I feel very honoured. So thank you for having me.
Because over the last day or two, I have been going over my notes and doing my research, as I often do before a podcast interview. And I realised that there is so much that we could talk about in your story. I think the hardest part is going to be keeping it to an hour or so.
Yeah, it's quite a long story, isn't it? It's been dragging on a while, this one.
Yeah, a bit of a winding road, but you've made some amazingly brave decisions, but we'll leave that for later on as your story unfolds. But one of the things that I do like to do is sort of go back a bit and find out sort of where your love of art came from. So did you always love art as a child growing up?
I did, yeah. I was always, very early on with the colouring books and then the paints and everything as a child, yeah, definitely. I was a child of the 80s, in the second half of the 70s. So that's when I was at school, and I'm actually dyslexic, but at that time nobody really knew what that was. So I found that I could just escape into my own little world with my paints and my crayons and, yeah, very much so as a child.
And did you ever think that you would go on to become an artist when you were younger, or did that come later?
When I left school, I was very interested in being a graphic designer. I really wanted to do graphic design. But just through circumstances, I actually ended up working in a technical drawing office to train as a draftswoman, which was the complete polar opposite from what somebody with my dyslexia should have been doing. But I kind of stuck with that for a while. And then I actually started my family when I was very young. I met my husband when I was just turning 17. And our first child was born when I was just 19 and a half years old. I then just threw myself into being a mum, really, quite some time.
And at what point did you rediscover your love of art? So it sounds like you threw yourself into being a mum. You would probably had plenty of things to do. Was art going on at all in the background, or did it reappear at some point?
Well, with the children, it was always going on. So while my kids were young, you know, I just immersed them in so much sort of playful art. So, yeah, I actually really enjoyed that time. We had a permanent space set up in the house, which was their kind of art area. And I have to admit, it was quite self-indulgent, you know, getting them off to do some art. They loved it. I loved it. And I also worked as a childminder at that time. So everything around the children was really geared around getting them involved with making their own art. So I guess it was always there. But when my youngest son went to school full time, I was a little worried about the empty house kind of syndrome in the day. And I just thought, I've got to do something for myself now. And I enrolled at the local art college, which was brilliant. It was just, yeah, life-changing. So that was fabulous. I did a year's course there. It was kind of like a course that was geared at getting people back into art practice or just getting people to try out lots of different mediums, really. So, yeah, it was amazing. We did textiles, glass, obviously painting, drawing, 3D sculpture, clay, you name it. For a whole year, I felt like I was at my own art play school while the kids were at school. So that was brilliant. I still worked. I had a job as well, which kind of I worked in the evenings and the weekends, which is when my husband sort of took over the childcare. So I was quite fortunate in a way that I was able to do that while they were at school. But it was never going to be a career choice. You know, at that stage, it was just, let's do something for yourself now. You've had 10 years, 12 years sort of being a really full hands-on mum. So I was still very young at the time, obviously, having my daughter so young. So, yeah, I wanted to do something for myself. And I think my tutors noticed something in me, which maybe I didn't even realise was there. And they really encouraged me to go on to the next level. But of course, I was a mum. I had three kids. I had a part-time job. You know, I couldn't go on and study full-time. That just wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, I didn't really think about it as a career change or a life change at that stage. Definitely not.
So what happened after you finished that one-year course and your tutors had seen something in you and suggested that maybe you go on and further your art studies, but it wasn't something that you could do at that time? So what did you do at that point?
Well, I carried on working. Obviously, you know, you've got three young children. You're very busy anyway. There's all the kids' clubs and stuff to run around to. And I spoke to my husband about it and he said, look, why don't you just do it? Just see where it goes. This was actually what we call here, it was like a foundation course. So it was geared at people who, or kids who had just, young adults, sorry, who had just finished their education and they wanted to go on to university. But it's like a gap year in between where you try again and a more involved extension of what I had already done, allowing you to see which area of art you want to move into for your degree. That's the whole sort of purpose of this course. Anyway, I threw caution to the wind. I just went for it. And yeah, it was brilliant. That was the year I discovered I was dyslexic. I was 33 and it was like revolutionary. My world just changed because I think up until that point, I'd had really low self-esteem through the dyslexia, which I had no idea about at the time. It was just how I was. I was very sort of shy. And, you know, now looking back, I can see it was great to be diagnosed with dyslexia because that then opened up a whole new world to me. I then discovered that actually, if I was to apply for a master's course in art, literally a quarter of all master's art students are dyslexic. So I just really felt like I found my crowd. And yeah, it was a fabulous year.
And what happened next when you finished that year? What did you decide to do?
This is the slightly crazy, side of my personality and, you know, my very supportive husband. So I had to, as part of that course, being as it was a feeder course for university, I had to apply for a university place. And my tutors explained to me that although I didn't want to go to university, you know, I couldn't go, if I didn't apply for that place at university, I wouldn't actually be able to complete the course. So I was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I knew that I couldn't go to uni. I had to continue working. We had a family and a big mortgage, as most young families do. It just wasn't an option. So I applied for what really was probably the most challenging university degree course to get onto at that time, illustration. It was at Cambridge School of Art. It had a fantastic historical reputation for illustration. And I thought, well, I'm not going to go. You know, let's put that down as my first choice. If you're going to fail, you might as well fail big time. So I applied. And yeah, fast forward a few months and lots of surprises. I actually got a place on the course. So that was a real shocker. And I am, I'm definitely not a religious person, but I'm quite a spiritual person. And I do believe that we kind of had this path defined for us, and sometimes we just have to follow the road. And so I got the place. My husband said, "You've got to go." And I said, "We can't. Come on, let's get real here, Jez. You know, I can't do that." So he said, we'll find a way. Let's sell the house. We'll go into rented accommodation just for 3 years while you study. And, you know, you're going to do this. It'd be fine. So that's what we did.
Such an amazing leap of faith, isn't it, to realize that you can do something like that. You just need to rethink things. And it sounds like your husband is incredibly supportive, which is wonderful.
Yeah, he is. He's always been super supportive. He's behind me all the way. And even now, you know, he works tirelessly many hours behind the scenes in my business for, you know, no reward, really. He's just very, very supportive and always has been.
So how did you feel when you made the decision to do that, to sell the house and go to university?
Honestly, I was terrified. On one hand, I had this fantastic opportunity. On the other hand, I had three beautiful children who loved their home. And my middle child, actually, it was such a terrible time for him because he was just about to go off to senior school. And he was quite a shy kid, and he was just kind of finding his feet. He had just started playing out with friends and stuff. And he actually turned to me and he said, "Mum, I've got to change schools and now you're taking my home away. I can't believe you're doing this to me." And oh my God, there's nothing like that feeling to a mother to make them feel completely crushed. So right from that point, it was too late at that point. He actually said it on the day we were packing up the lorry to move. So we had to roll with it. And at that point, I just said to myself, I'm not going to let this be a mistake. You know, I'm going to make sure that I can repay my husband's faith and my kids' trust and make this work. So yeah, that was definitely the driving force for me.
What a mixture of emotions as you moved through that transition. Like, I'm visualizing at the lorry there, your son saying that to you, but then also the excitement of taking this path. It's such a kind of complex situation to be in.
Yeah, it really was. That's exactly how I would describe it. Very complex and just a roller coaster of emotions. And obviously that fear of the unknown, you know, is this just a ludicrously stupid decision I'm making, or is this going to pay off? We had no idea, obviously.
So what was it like once you started at university and you got to know all these people? Did you feel like you were in amongst your own tribe, your own kind?
I did, yeah. I mean, obviously I went as a mature student, and I was quite surprised actually how many mature students were on the course. So that was really good. I had brilliant connection with my tutors. You know, there was such a wide variety of options open to us. Doing an illustration course particularly, I would highly recommend for anybody who is interested in mixed media or working on different materials, because we had tutors from so many specialism backgrounds that were so diverse. So yeah, I mean, the guy who led the course at the time, he was actually a collector of things. So his house was almost like a museum, but his illustration work was just all photography of all his wonderful collections. So it really encouraged me to think outside of the box. And it was a brilliant lesson in learning that images and illustrations can come from so many different areas. They don't necessarily have to be created with a pen or a brush. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I think of illustration, I think of children's books and things like that. And to hear you talk about how diverse it can be, I wonder whether an illustration degree is very different to what I have in my head.
Yeah, and I was the same as you, to be honest, Laura. When I went along, that's kind of what I thought. I thought we'd have to be, you know, designing children's books and that sort of thing. There is actually a specialist course for that at that particular university for children's book illustration. But the 3 years that I did, we literally spent year one drawing all the time. We had to do observational drawing pretty much every day until we were so bored of drawing, literally. And the idea being, our tutors sort of said, you know, if you draw something, it then kind of gets into your brain. It, you know, you start to recognize shapes and forms, and it becomes a lot easier to draw on that information in any sort of aspect of your art later on. So we drew and drew and drew for year one. And then in year two, we were told, okay, no drawing. We want you to create images almost without pencils and brushes and paints. You know, we want you to find other ways of making art. So I spent a lot of time in the print room. You know, we did photography and stuff. So I spent a lot of time taking photos, tearing photos up, collaging things back together. So yeah, it was really good. And then the final year of the degree, I actually chose to illustrate a story through the medium of wallpaper. So I took a text and without any words, I made a wallpaper sample book. It was quite a dark story. It was Bluebeard. It's it's a bit of a dark story, so we won't go there. But basically, I illustrated it through a wallpaper sample book. That's what I came up with. So yeah, it was really great, really liberating to actually discover that illustration is so much more than, like you say, just children's books. Because before I went, I had no idea either, really.
So when you graduated with your degree, what happened after that? And did you have ideas around what the next steps would be? And did those ideas, I guess, live up to expectation? I'm not sure. Can you tell us about what happened?
Yeah, sure. So I thought I would graduate and I would start working as an illustrator. I thought I'd sign on to illustration agencies and that would be it. That'd be fine. However, I graduated in 2008 and there was a big recession here, start of the recession, and illustration houses were kind of sticking with their current artists and designers, and it just became impossible to get, or very difficult to get, signed on to an agency. So I made some very good friends on my course, and we, as a group of sort of more mature students, artists, we decided we couldn't let this beat us. So we started making our own exhibitions and taking part in group shows, that sort of thing. And we did loads. But I quickly discovered that actually in a recession, obviously buying large paintings or works of art, people didn't really have the money. The average Joe on the street wasn't looking to invest in their big art collections at that time. So I started producing greetings cards, notebooks, canvas illustrated bags, and I would take all of these things along to the shows, display my artwork, but then equally give people an offering of lots of other ways to get those images. And that's where I found my own little niche that was working really well for me. So I would sell prints, greetings cards, that sort of thing, you know. But yeah, I would also sell originals, but not as many at that time as obviously anyone would have liked.
So how did you go about the creation of your products? What kind of process did you use to create your notebooks, prints, canvases and things like that that you would then take to the shows and get out to your customer base?
That's where the course, the illustration course, had come in really handy, because part of that was, you know, illustration, it is an art form that is made to be reproduced. So, you know, we learn all about that on the course. So I was able to, you know, I knew how to scan in my images properly, make up the files in Photoshop or whatever, and produce those for printed products. I would send them off to various printers who would just turn them into those products for me. I kind of self-published my own range of goods then and took it on a step further. So I then started taking them to other outlets, other shops. I joined like things like the Greetings Card Association, entered competitions through them. So yeah, I just kind of, I don't know, I was just a bit driven. As I said, I had to make this work. And I wasn't going to let a recession stop that. So that's what I did.
So as the UK came out of recession in 2011, you took another great big leap of faith and opened up a gallery. What motivated you to do that? And again, you know, do something that's a big decision and a brave move.
Yeah, I do think I am slightly crazy. And everybody else agreed with me at that point. But I was, by this stage, my youngest son was going off to senior school. And one of the ladies who was actually a stockist of my cards and my prints, I popped in to see her one day and she just said to me, "Oh, I don't know if you've heard, but the shop next door is coming up for rent. You know, the guy is leaving." So I said, "Oh, no, that's interesting." And it's a really sweet little shop. I've still got that shop today. And it's kind of in a back street of our town, of my hometown. And it's a little off the beaten track. And what that meant was the rents there were a lot more affordable than the high street. So I popped in and had a chat with the guy who owned the shop. And he said to me, "Don't do it. You're mad. It's been horrible. You know, it's been so stressful. Please don't do it." So I thought, okay, that's pretty negative. I should maybe listen to this guy who's had this building for the last 3 years. But again, I don't know why, something in me thought, no, I'm going to do this. I didn't really have the finances to do it, if I'm honest. And I still had a huge student loan hanging over me, which needed repaying. So I continued to work part-time all the way through this period of sort of supporting myself, going to these shows and everything. And this would have meant giving up that part-time job. So not only was it a slightly crazy idea, it was another one of those scary moments. But I managed to loan the money to start the business. And my husband helped me redecorate the whole interior of the shop. And we opened in October 2011. I knew local artists who I invited to come and display their work. And yeah, it went from there. We just had a really lovely, supportive bunch of creative people who displayed through the gallery, different exhibitions, changing shows, group shows, solo shows. It was great. But another thing that I started to do at that time was teach, because I realized also after a recession, we all need a little bit of an outlet. And there were more people who kind of needed something nice to do in their spare time than there were people who wanted to buy original art. So I started running small groups of workshops for beginners from the gallery in the evenings and the weekends. And yeah, that really kind of kept me ticking over.
Did you find that combination of having a gallery, workshops, and I'm not sure, were you selling things like your products as well in the gallery?
Yeah, sorry, I was. So I had a whole range of greetings cards by then. So I was selling my greetings cards and my prints. I was also doing canvas prints at that time, which I don't do anymore. But at that stage, they were sort of quite a fashionable thing to do, I suppose, at that time. It was before places like the big stores started doing them. So I was going to say Dunelm, but you may not know who they are. So now we have a store that does loads of stuff like that, and it's really, really cheap. But this was before that period. So it was an affordable way for people to get art on their walls, but it was a printed medium. So it was a much cheaper way of buying art. So again, back to the illustration. So yeah, I would sell those products, and other artists would produce their original work. I just didn't have time to do both. So I managed the gallery, I managed their shows, and I had a little kind of sideline of my greetings cards and prints, really, just sort of tucked in the corner. So yeah, I kind of dedicated my time to promoting and displaying other artists' work.
So what did it feel like then to kind of go from making your own work and that being the main focus to changing your focus to promoting other artists?
Initially, it was great. Again, this drive to make the business work, I was very determined to do whatever it took to get the rent on the building paid and, you know, obviously make a salary for myself. I was quite happy with that. I really found it very easy to talk about other people's artwork, I think because of the love I had for art and the technical experience I had. I found it really easy to talk about the processes to customers and how the work was created and you know, talk about the more technical things, the colours and everything and why they were placed next to each other. And I found that really enjoyable, but also really informative, because as I was telling others about these processes, I was gaining confidence in myself, realising, actually, you know, you do know quite a bit about this stuff, you know, you have learned a lot along the way. And it was kind of just good for putting myself into check, really, and thinking, yeah, you know, you've learned this. And that just gradually helped boost my own confidence, I suppose. And I was quite happy doing that for a few years. Alongside this, I was also teaching as well, don't forget. So I just got a real buzz out of seeing people coming in who were really nervous and were almost apologising for turning up to the class, going away with their original pieces, beaming smiles, happy faces, like saying, thank you so much. I just really enjoyed that session. And that for me was the reward, seeing how happy the art made people, how great I could sort of articulate and talk about other people's work. You know, I was very fulfilled definitely through that period. But sadly, if you are a creative person yourself, and you'll know this, of course, and many listening will, if you're not making your own art, slowly you start to lose a little bit of yourself. And that's kind of where I got to around, it was the end of 2014, which had been a particularly difficult year anyway, because my father had been poorly all that year. And sadly, we lost him at the end of that year. So when 2015 came, I thought, no, I've got to go back to art now. You know, I need it. I need it in my life. I need to be creating. I need to find that sort of spark again, which I realised I had slowly sort of lost just through not creating my own work. So yeah, that was my mission for 2015. But the business was so busy then. The classes were flying. Like, I had four other tutors. It's a very small space, so four other tutors rotating, running workshops in there, plus myself. I would teach the mixed media, and we had others doing watercolors, oils, acrylics, fused glass, believe it or not, in this tiny space. And 2015 was a period of really trying to be creative and actually just not having the headspace all the time to do it. And that resulted in a big frustration, which then ultimately led to burnout, yeah, complete crash.
It sounds like you had a lot on your plate with running a gallery, store, managing other tutors. Did you have other staff that you were managing, or how did you make sure that everything was being done?
Amazingly, I just had one other member of part-time staff. And now I look back on that, I do think, how on earth did I do that? But the way I did that was I literally worked 24/7. So obviously the workshops took place in the evenings and the weekends, so I was working. And the gallery had to be open and run, you know, through the week. So I did close the gallery 2 days a week in the end, midweek on the quietest days, just so I had a little bit of respite, really, and a bit of time to try and get creative. But actually, as you know, when you've got a family at home, that's not always very easy. You know, family have to be looked after too. And although they were all older by that stage, having teenage children, it's not easier, it's just different, and they need supporting. And yeah, it was a tricky time thinking about it, but again, my husband was great. He could see I was struggling. So it was at that point in 2015, he started taking on a lot more of the administration behind the scenes. You know, we had to make sure all the artists got paid on time, obviously, each month. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of back cataloguing stuff going on. So Jez took that on. He did that, and that really helped.
So what else helped you when you realised that you were in this period of feeling really down about your own art, but also too exhausted to do anything? I suppose what I'm trying to ask is sort of how did you work through that? And you mentioned that your husband came and gave you some support with the admin. Were there other things that you did during that time to help move through that period of burnout?
Yeah, I very much found yoga, believe it or not. I threw myself into yoga, and that really helped. Yoga and meditation was very, very useful. And by the end of that year, I started to think, you know, I am going to get back to doing my own art. So again, another kind of leap of faith. In 2016, I applied to a local arts trust for a fellowship. I explained to them my situation, and I said, you know, I really need to get back to practicing my own art, but I have the gallery and it makes it very difficult. But I was looking for a studio space where I could just, somewhere I could go and just create art on the days that the gallery was closed. So almost running away from the dishes and the housework, but just I found if I was at home, I couldn't do it. They are called the Digswell Arts Trust, and they're a local charity, and they have very affordable studio rents. I had an interview, they accepted me, they gave me a fellowship, which meant I had a beautiful studio in a nearby town that I could just go to when the gallery was closed. And I just locked myself in that studio space. I almost wasn't a great fellow for the first few months because I really needed to be on my own. And obviously part of being an artist collective is connecting and talking to your other fellow artists. So, but I needed that little period of just quiet time. And I literally switched myself off from everything else 2 days a week. And I just started playing with colour and materials. And by the end of 2016, when the gallery's anniversary came around again in October, I had my first solo show in my own gallery. So that was pretty amazing. I managed to produce 16 original canvases for that show, and it was the first time I'd ever shown original artwork in my own gallery space.
And what was that like for you?
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I was very nervous, and I was ridiculously scared of putting it out there. But I realised it was a progress, a sort of a step I had to take, a progression that I had to make. So I very tentatively put my work up, and obviously I was used to creating other people's work in the space, so I was curating everybody else's, but putting my own up was quite difficult. But I did it, and my daughter helped me. She was brilliant. She's also very creative, and she just has a wonderful eye for placing art and objects together. So she said, come on, Mum, you know, we can do this. And I had an opening night. Oh my goodness, the butterflies in my stomach. I've never experienced anything like it. I was so nervous, Laura. I wanted to just run away and hide. But on the opening night, four of the big canvases sold, and the exhibition was up for 4 weeks. And by the end of it, I think I'd sold 12 of the 16. And the good thing was, I'd sold them to complete strangers. not the first four. They were regular customers who came along and wanted to support me, I think, on that opening night. But the others went to people I didn't know, and that was a real confidence boost. It was a massive, massive boost for me.
What happened to, I suppose, your confidence or the way that you felt about your art once you had those sales and you'd had your first exhibition and you'd put yourself out there like that?
I definitely got a lot more confident. I started to believe that actually maybe I can be an artist, which sounds crazy because I had done so much already by that point.
Yeah, as you said that, I was like, wow, you're only just thinking that now at this point. It's just starting to think, oh, I could be an artist. And yet you had so many years of making and so much experience behind you. It's incredible to hear these stories where it takes such a long time to build the confidence.
Yeah, I think that's just my personality, though. I've always been a bit like that. I'm a bit of a wallflower, I suppose. You know, I'd much rather push somebody else out there than myself. But it had actually taken that whole process of talking to others about other people's work, you know, just gradually building on those little elements to increase my confidence. And then obviously when you put your work out there for the first time, I feel it's almost like opening up a personal diary and you're letting everybody read it, and you have no idea how shocked or you know, what their response is going to be. So when the response was positive, that was a huge boost to my self-esteem and confidence. Yeah, 100%. Really, really big jump.
Because I know from some of the conversations or emails that we've had before this interview that you mentioned to me that you would have your art in the gallery, and when someone came in and asked about the painting, you would talk about it, but you wouldn't own up to the fact that it was yours. You would pretend it was another artist, which I found fascinating. But I could also relate to it too. Like when I thought about it, I was like, geez, that's something I would do. Like I understand that hesitation, how hard it can be to actually put yourself out there and say, this is my work. But after you had the exhibition, did that change for you?
No, it didn't. So I basically got through that first exhibition selling to those strangers as, you know, speaking about my own work in the third person as if I had no idea who I was. people would say, is she local? Now, that was such a tricky question, as I was the person in front of them. And I do need to apologize to those customers now and let them know it wasn't because I was trying to trick them. I just didn't have that confidence to say, yeah, it's me. So people would say, is she local? And I'd say, oh, yes, she's very local. She lives in Hitchin. And I would have this whole weird, crazy conversation about my paintings as if I wasn't the person that had created them. And in hindsight now, I think that's just because, again, it was a confidence thing. I had learned that I was comfortable talking about other people's work. So if I sort of took myself out, it made it a lot easier to talk about the process and the way the work was created. I did have a couple of instances where people would say, geez, you know an awful lot about this painting. And still, you know, what an opportunity to own up and say, yeah, that's because I created it. But I just couldn't at that stage. I was still too unsure of my own ability, I suppose, to be an artist, yeah.
So after you had your first solo exhibition, did you go on to have further exhibitions of your own art, or did you then just sort of kick back into the regular kind of runnings of your gallery showcasing other artists?
I did both. So the gallery continued, and my fellowship was a 3-year term with the Diggswell Arts Trust. So, in you know, that gave me a real big boost. Then obviously we had Christmas. It's a very, very busy time in retail. And then come the January, the success of the business had enabled us to treat our kids, because I did feel like they had had a bit of a rough deal for many years with me going through this kind of process of becoming an artist. So it enabled us to treat our kids to a very special holiday. They were all grown ups by this point. My youngest son would have been 17, I think. But my elder son had actually gone to Australia for a gap year. Well, he was actually away for 18 months traveling all around. But he was in Australia on the Christmas of 2016, 2017. So, yeah, we went on a lovely six-week holiday to Australia. You're obviously near Adelaide, and I've got family in Adelaide, so we visited them. We had a great time. But my daughter and I, for 6 weeks, were unable to really take lots of wonderful photos and sketch. And from that trip to Australia in 2017, we had a joint exhibition together. It was called Collaboration in Mindfulness. And Maisie, my daughter, she was working in London. She had a brilliant job, and she loved her job, but it wasn't creative. So she was beginning to feel the downside to not being a creative and not working in a creative field. So I said, come on, let's do this. We can have our own exhibition this year in October for the anniversary, and we'll have a joint show. And that was fantastic. It was such a wonderful opportunity to work with her. She is, I would say, more of an abstract painter, definitely. And she loves just playing with the materials. So we took some key photographs from our travels. We selected them. And from those photographs, Maisie worked all of the backgrounds of the paintings. She actually painted on the canvas first and used colour to represent, or colour and shapes to sort of represent the atmosphere of the places we had chosen. And then once she had finished, she gave it to me, and I literally, what I call my elaborate doodles, I literally drew all over her painting. And together we made these pretty awesome paintings, actually. I'm still really proud of them. And we put them up for display in the gallery in 2017. And it was virtually a sellout show. I think we were left with two paintings, which have since sold. So, yeah, it was amazing.
That's amazing on so many different levels, isn't it, when you think about it? Because it started from that holiday, bringing the inspiration in, working with your daughter, combining, you know, your creative skills and talents together, and then almost, you know, selling out, or you did sell out in the end. So that, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant time. Really, really lovely project to do with her, obviously. Then she sort of disappeared back into her office job, and I just carried on with the gallery. So yeah, no, it was an amazing, amazing thing to do.
So you were still running classes and teaching in the evenings?
Yeah, I had at this point stopped the evenings, actually, because it was getting too much, but I was still teaching at the weekends. So we had a full program of workshops running every weekend, and I wouldn't teach every weekend at this point. The other tutors were kind of coming in to teach, so I was probably only doing one a month at that stage. But that was still a lot, because, as you know, running a workshop, it's not just turning up and doing the workshop. There's all the preparation beforehand. We also used to buy all the materials, and we used to provide an afternoon tea. So it was a really lovely kind of social event. So yeah, that continued, which ultimately led to another burnout, I'm afraid to say. So 2019, my fellowship period was up. I'd done my 3 years, and it was September, and I was leaving there, and I just felt completely, you know, shattered. I'd lost my creative spark again for the third time, and didn't really know how I was going to get it back. But Christmas was coming, and there's a lot to do in a gallery when you've got Christmas on the way. So I threw myself into gallery work. And then I just had a chance meeting with a local property owner. Literally, I was walking to work, bumped into this guy, you know, swapped pleasantries. And I don't know where it came from, but I just said to him, I don't suppose you've got any studio spaces available, have you? And he said, well, Emmeline, this could be your lucky day. he said, I'm just going to check an office that somebody's just vacated. Do you want to come with me and see what it's like? So again, it was just another one of those crazy chances. I went along to this office space and it was amazing. It was just amazing. It's on top of one of the shops in my market square where I live. So it has a brilliant view of the town square and it's just the most fantastic place to people watch, which isn't great for the creative process either if you spend all your day looking out the window. But I took on the studio and I moved in there just before Christmas. So obviously, just before Christmas 2019, obviously had no time to create at that stage. And then 2020 came and I started going back into the studio, but I was still really struggling to get that creative flow. And one of my lovely customers, Sophie, she said, have you heard of Laura Horn? She said, she does some wonderful classes. I'm doing one online. I said, no, I hadn't, because as I said to you previously, I hadn't had time to listen to podcast, to really do social media. You know, I was completely way behind the game on that front. And I had never listened to a podcast before, Laura, before I listened to yours, which is terrible to think that now, isn't it? That was just over a year and a half ago. But I hadn't. And so she put me in touch with your podcast. I did your 6-week course, the mixed media course. And yeah, I'm glad to say you got me back in the swing of things. You found my creative flow for me. So that was amazing.
Wow. I wasn't actually expecting that part of the story. So it's wonderful to hear that the podcast and taking part in the modern mixed media class at least planted some kind of seed that enabled you to find your way back into creativity. So that's wonderful to hear. But I'm just thinking, you're into 2020 now, and we all know that 2020 was not a normal year by any stretch of the imagination. And you had your studio and a gallery that you were running. What happened when COVID-19 started to sort of rumble in your area?
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you for your course, because you're correct. It completely, it just completely saved me. And I don't think COVID would have been anywhere near as good for me without your course, put it that way. What happened to the gallery was, obviously, it was all very short notice. We got, like everybody around the world, I imagine, we got a notification on TV that the next day or in the next few days, everything was going to shut down. It was a complete shock. I had just launched and filled a whole collection of workshops for the spring, taking us up to summer. So running from April up until the end of July, we had just filled all of our workshops. My first thought was, oh my God, I need to refund these customers. Oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? How am I going to pay the rent? You know, like all of these terrifying thoughts when you run a business. I'd also just taken on a studio, so I actually had two rents to find, and I was thinking, oh no, you know, what have I done? It was absolutely terrifying, and I completely hit rock bottom, because for the first time ever, I just couldn't think of a way out of this. And I then threw myself into building an online shop for all of the art and the artists that we had. And I literally spent that summer trying to put an online shop together in a very haphazard and badly informed way. And then I listened to a podcast that you had done about your Squarespace site, which again was great. I ended up getting myself a Squarespace website. Jez helped me again. My husband helped me put it all together. And the online shop sort of kept us ticking over through that first lockdown. But at that stage, the online shop was very heavily based on other people's work, because I had up to 90 artists at this stage signed on to the gallery, you know, from tiny little makers of jewellery right through to people who did huge pieces of work, you know, large canvases. So photographing everything and getting that all online took me a whole summer. We reopened at the end of July and rejigged the interior of the shop, very positive about being back. And we had a good few months in the gallery. And then the November lockdown came. I had literally just placed orders for my Christmas stock, because at Christmas time, the gallery also sells a lot of little arty gifts and things. So all the orders had just been placed. All of the invoices had been paid. And then a November lockdown came. And I just thought, well, I won't tell you what I thought, because it's, I don't think you definitely have to put a bleep on. But yeah, it wasn't a good thought. And yeah, I just thought, I don't know where I'll go from here, really. Luckily, that lockdown was only a month long. We were allowed to reopen for Christmas, which in my opinion was a ridiculous decision for our healthcare, but it was an essential decision for the economy. So we did open, and then lockdown came again the week before Christmas. And if you work in retail, you know that actually you tread water pretty much 9 months of the year. And then you have three really good selling months. And that week before Christmas is undoubtedly your biggest selling month of your year. So that was awful, quite frankly. It was awful. But trying to find a positive out of it, I got Christmas Eve off. I love Christmas Eve, and I haven't had one off in like 12 years or more. So I thought, okay, I've got Christmas Eve with the family. That's a bonus. We're all healthy. That's the main thing. You know, touch wood, nobody we knew closely was suffering. So I felt very lucky for that. And Christmas came and went. January, I just didn't really know what to do. My daughter, by this stage, had turned 30. So she had a special birthday in January. It was quite a milestone, obviously, for her. And she said, "Mum, why don't we just sell your work now? Like, you've got such a back catalogue, such a big body of work. Why don't we start promoting you now? And you can just return to being a creative person. Let's get rid of all the stress of running the business, and why don't you just find your creative flow?" At that time, I just couldn't see that ever happening, to be honest. I was so stressed, but I thought about it, and with the fullness of time, we started planning how this could possibly work. Cut a long story short, the gallery premises, I still have them. But we reopened them at the end of April this year, so very recently. And just last week, we got the signage put up, and the Artness Gallery is no more, I'm afraid. But we now have Emmeline Art and Home, which my daughter now manages. So, yeah, I mean, just what a roller coaster, and what an amazing kind of place we're at now. So yeah, it's been pretty wild and scary.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's gonna be okay.
It's such a brilliant story, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, and for you to take us through all the different steps to that you've taken to get to where you are now. It's like you're putting yourself out there, you've rebranded your gallery, it's under your name, you're selling your artwork. It's all about you, like you've put you at the center of it so that you can be creative and hopefully not feel that you know, that feeling that you've had several times throughout this story where you didn't get that opportunity to be creative and it led you to hitting rock bottom. So anyway, I just wanted to, I guess, say wow first.
No, thank you.
There's so many brave decisions that you've made. Like, if you go back and reflect on it, you sold your house to go to university. You started a gallery just as your country was coming out of recession. You took on studio spaces during, you know, various times that you had family that you were supporting. There's been so many, I guess, pivotal moments. And then we've hit this last one where you have turned your gallery around and in the midst of COVID, because that's still happening. So another, you know, decision that I'm sure wasn't necessarily easy. But, you know, your love of art and creativity is just, it's so apparent through everything that you do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't ever really think of them as courageous or brave decisions at any time. I just felt they were almost slightly crazy, but essential choices I had to make if I was going to follow that path. But I guess I didn't really think too deeply about them until this most recent one. Obviously, my daughter, I've said, you know, she's turned 30. She has a mortgage of her own now. She's getting married this year, hopefully, if COVID allows. And yeah, there's a big responsibility comes with that. The fact that she now wants to kind of come on board and work with me is amazing. You know, it feels like a real honour to have her. She's equally very creative, but she's very driven and she has a lot of skills. So I hope it's going to work out. But again, we're now both falling into this trap of just let's throw caution to the wind and see where it rolls. So yeah, I hope it's okay for her sake, you know, more than mine really.
Well, you've certainly shown through all of the decisions that you've made in the past and how determined you were to make it work, particularly when you set up your gallery, The Art Nest, initially in 2011. You know, just how you can make things work. So what does it feel like now when you go to the gallery and you open up and you walk in and you see all of your art and your creations in that space?
Oh, that's such a good question. Honestly, I'm still that kind of timid, retiring, shy artist at heart. So I think this is going to sound terribly big-headed. I'm sorry, I don't mean it to. But I walk in there and I think, wow, this looks amazing. Like, I think if I could curate a store, it would look like this. And then I think, oh, wow, actually I have curated this store and that's why it looks like this. So yeah, it's still kind of a moment of pinching myself that it's actually happened because it's so new. But I don't think I could work there. I'm so glad I don't have to work there. And I mean that in the nicest possible way because I know that I've got some really beautiful, lovely, loyal customers who I really enjoyed spending time with and chatting to. But because I am quite introverted, I suppose, you know, I find it quite difficult being in a space that's surrounded with all of my work. I just don't handle it very well. So yeah, it's great that Maisie has stepped up to take that role on. So she is working from the gallery. I'm working from the studio, which is just around the corner. So we see each other every day, which is brilliant. And yeah, I'm very much in my zone, hidden away above the shops, looking down at the square, being creative, whereas she is now very much the face of the business. She will be going forward and she's responsible for getting the sales. So yeah, let's hope she can do it.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful setup. And I'm just so happy to hear that you are, you know, spending that time in the studio making art and focusing on your own creative work.
Oh, thank you, Laura. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. It is very enjoyable, as I'm sure you know.
Just before we finish, I want to ask you a question and have you reflect back on your journey. Because when I decided to do this series, focusing in on artists that are achieving success in different ways and maybe don't necessarily have a big social media following or something like that. So they're not as visible as some artists are, but they're doing their own thing. So what I wanted to do was ask each artist, what is their definition of success? So I'll give you a little bit of a moment to think about it and reflect back on everything that you have done and tell me, what does success mean for you now?
To be honest, for me, it's really simple. It's not anything, you know, on the grand scheme of things, it's not anything really amazing. But I know what a competitive industry it is to sell artwork for a living. And for me, just the fact that I'm able to do it and make a living, that to me is success, because it's taken a very long time. But, you know, way back in 2003, that was never on my radar, because it was something that was just so completely unattainable for a person like me. I really just didn't think that would ever happen. So for me, success is very much, this is me living my dream. Like if you could take your best hobby and turn it into your way of earning a living, that's got to be success, right? And that's what I've done. So that's it for me. Just turning something I love into something that I spend every day now doing. That's success for me.
I absolutely love that. And I want to thank you again for sharing your incredible story. And I want to wish you success in the future with your gallery and with your daughter running it and your husband's support and your family as well. So wishing you many happy, happy creative days ahead.
Oh, thank you, Laura. That's so kind. And thank you so much for the opportunity to come on and talk about my story. And also thank you to you for the inspiration, because I honestly, honestly mean it when I say, if it wasn't for that course, this conversation may not be happening right now. So thank you very much for all you do and all the inspiration you provide. You know, I know it's been super helpful for me, and I'm definitely not the only one out there who'd be feeling that. So yeah, thank you very much.
What a brave and brilliant story. I'd love for you to pop over and visit Emmeline. You can find her on Instagram at Emmeline_web, or check out her website, emmelineweb.com. Or if you are near Hitchin, you can pop into her gallery and store, which is called Emmeline Art and Home. If you are sharing Instagram stories, I'd love to see them too. So if you could tag Emmeline and tag me at Laura Horn Art, that would be wonderful. I also wanted to mention that I will be opening up registration for my course, Modern Mixed Media, on the 1st of October. Emmeline kindly mentioned the course in the podcast, and it is my biggest, most in-depth course. You can join the waitlist by heading to laurahornart.com/modernmixedmedia. Next week, I'm chatting with another UK artist, Angela Terrace. It's the last interview in the Redefining Success series, and it's a super uplifting one. Angela chats very honestly and humorously about her decision to ditch being a digital artist and start playing with paint. So I hope that you'll join us for that conversation and that you have a wonderful week.